It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are in our final 45 Caps preseason hockey coming up tonight here on the Team 980. So we're done at 6:45. Preseason hockey tomorrow night, I believe, as well. So we're off 6:45. It's actually an early week for us. We're off on 5:30 because the Terps are playing football on Friday. So get your Hoffman Show fixed where you can. And, of course, if you miss any of it, make sure you check the podcast anytime, anywhere, on demand, any part of the show that you want. Listen, rewind as much as you want. Did he really say that? Wow. Okay. Well, let me double check. Yep. You can. On demand. That's what it means, for you in your podcast feed. Just search The Hoffman Show. Speaking of podcasts, Take Command. We did an instant reaction show this morning with Grant Paulson. So it was me and GP. Really good stuff there. If you want to fill, that 6:45 to 7 part of your commute, with more of me talking about the game, that's a good way to do it, with GP at 6:45, once we're done, or stay tuned for the hockey. And we'll be back tomorrow, Logan and I recording the film review episode, so make sure that you check that out tomorrow morning. We're going to record it fairly early in the morning, so hopefully we'll have it by the middle of the day in your feeds. Okay, that's enough housekeeping. That's enough of that. Now it's time for this, our pick six.
The six biggest Commander storylines.
It is caught!
Delivered at 6 o'clock sharp. It's the pick six at six.
We set out to find a leader, someone who could take this franchise to the next level, build an elite team that consistently competes for championships.
All right, so on typically it's Fridays, but in this particular case, a Monday, because it was Monday Night Football, we pick six players who we think are going to be particularly interesting to watch on Monday night. In this particular case, on Sunday, this particular case, obviously Monday night, and, well, you get the point. We picked six players. Anthony, you had the first pick, so let's get us started with numero uno.
Number one. Yes, number one, I had Sam Cosmi. We talked about yesterday the Bengals being without their two starting defensive tackles on the interior, and how, you know, we should lean on the run game and try to exploit that. I'm not going to lie, I think the Bengals did a good job of, you know, keeping B-Rob in check. I think he rushed just for 33 yards on 16 carries. But Austin Ekeler, he had a couple of big runs. I want to say they were outside zone.
He had a couple of different things, but yeah.
Yeah, he had some big runs. But I think Cosmi, for the most part, I think he just did a good job of finding work in the pass game for the most part. The run game was a little tough, not a lot of holes opening, but I think he still, you know, was impactful. And even if it wasn't him, I think Nick Allegretti, he was another person that did a good job of opening holes on some of those huge runs by Ekeler.
Yeah, I think he did a tremendous job. I'm trying to see if I can pull this up for the YouTube stream. On one of those plays, or one of the plays where he found work, he did the funniest thing I think I've ever seen an offensive lineman do. Did you see the tweet that I put out earlier, Anthony?
Yeah, well, he was downfield.
Yeah, so you want to talk about awareness and, you know, this is a little thing that becomes a big thing. It's funny to laugh at. But it also is, you know, like, it's a huge freaking deal. You get a penalty that negates a big play and that sets you back in the red zone. Like, that's an issue. And Sam Cosmi, on a play, it's the play where Jaden scrambles to his right and finds Noah Brown down there. And Sam Cosmi, first of all, he has no one to block. And so he find someone here. I have it on that. I'm going to put it up on the what's it called, on the stream. So people on the stream, this is the only time I'm probably ever going to do this, but it's so funny that I have to do it. I'm going to put some all 22 footage up. But Sam Cosmi, I got to make it bigger. But Sam Cosmi looks for work, finds it, knocks a dude like 6 yards, like to the side. So he smashes the dude over, and just like from the center to all the way where the tackle was. And then as he realizes that he's getting upfield because he thinks Jaden Daniels is going to scramble, he realizes, like, I'm about to eat. Oh, crap. Because he looks back and sees Jaden's about to throw. And he's like, I can't be an illegal man downfield. And so he falls over backwards to avoid the penalty. It is one of the funniest things I've ever seen an offensive lineman do. It's great from a technical standpoint, and the awareness, again, is just off the charts. And again, there's so many plays in this game where Cosme does the right things, whether it's just ceiling block. I mean, on B-Rob's first touchdown, the short yardage at the goal line thing, Cosme gets in the hole and turns his dude, and that's where the hole is. Like, that's where B-Rob squeezes through for the touchdown. They just do a tremendous job with him, and he does a tremendous job of getting on the move and, you know, at least getting a piece. There is a play late in the game, the second of the two De'Ami Brown screens on the final drive. Sam gets a little bit of a piece, which helps that get even more yards. If he gets the whole thing, that thing is out. But trying to hit a corner 15 yards down the field is hard. So I give Cosme, you know, not I won't call it slack, but like I'm realistic there. If he makes that play, it's like an all-pro play. He makes a good play and gets a little bit of the corner to make it less clean and let De'Ami fall forward and make that third down in a better range where ultimately, obviously, Jaden makes the hero play and hits Terry deep. But there's just so much good stuff with him, and he was huge in this game. Again, like, were they as dominant up front as I think we were hoping with those two backup defensive tackles? Not necessarily, but they never caused problems. Yeah. So I think that's a good thing. I think the other thing, though, is, like, I don't know how reflect, like, I want to go look at B-Rob's success rate as a runner last night, because he didn't average a lot per carry, but he had a lot of short yardage stuff. He had a lot of, like, third and two, I got three. So his success rate was probably higher last night than his, like, hey, that was a really great gain rate, if you will. And Cosme had a big role to play in that. Because in big spots, like, they run to the right. They run behind him and Wiley and Biotish, and I don't think that's an accident.
Number two.
All right, number two on this list. I'm not going to lie, Anthony, I don't have the list in front of me. Where did it go? I have another case of too many tabs open. There we go, Brian Robinson Jr. Oh, we're right on cue, talking about the right guy anyway. Good job, Craig. Professional radio host at work. We just talked about it with Cosme. Like, the running game had a very specific role to play last night, and obviously Eckler winds up being the back with the more gaudy statistics, but I do think it's worth pointing out Robinson's role in some of those plays. Like, a lot of those plays, they're on the field together and they're using misdirection, and B-Rob's obviously he does a lot of dirty work as a runner, but he also is willing, it seems, very much to be a complimentary piece. Like, hey, yeah, I will be a decoy here. And he seems to have a great attitude about it. He's the right team kind of guy. I think he fits the culture of what they want to build. And, you know, him sharing that role with Eckler is great. But you also see later on in the game when Eckler is unavailable, he's in on some third downs. And they, you know, McNichols did a really good job on the third and seven. Like, he has this ridiculous block of Jermaine Pratt where he upends him, as Mitch called it earlier when he was with us, the dirty dancing moment. He literally, like, lifts him up off the ground and flips him over. But B-Rob has some nice pass protection reps in this game as well. And I think, again, his versatility on display, some of the stuff that Cliff does formationally is possible because B-Rob is a legitimate route runner out of the backfield or split out as a receiver or kind of lined up almost as a quasi tight end in terms of his split close to the line of scrimmage. So there's just a lot of little stuff that he does that I really appreciate. And while this clearly statistically is nothing close to what he did last week where he had 150 yards, he still had a pretty big impact in this game. And that's a hats off to Brian Robinson, because it's not always easy to do as a running back when you don't have a big rushing day.
Number three.
I bet.
Yeah, you were into it. You're like, man, that's a great point, Craig.
Yeah, I had to.
Oh, I have to hit a button now. Yeah. And then you have to talk about Javonte Jean-Baptiste.
Yes, sir. Javonte Jean-Baptiste. Is it Jean or John?
I believe it's Javonte Jean-Baptiste.
Jean.
We're going with the French pronunciation because it's spelled the French way.
Yeah, so we had Cleveland Farrell out yesterday, and there were a couple of guys that was going to fill in for him. We knew Jamie was going to be active. He was going to play. But my guy was Javonte, just because that's who Dan Quinn was, you know, super high on. And he got in, and he was fairly impactful. Once Amarius Mims came in for the injured right tackle. Next play, all I know is, you know, he's making an instant impact, you know, being able to come up with the sack. So I just think the more and more reps he get, I think he'll, you know, figure it out. But I think that play yesterday that he made, the sack that we get, the second sack, I think it's just a testament to, like, who he can possibly be if given more of the reps, kind of thing.
He is going to get more reps because the edge play right now is not very good. I know that there's more talk about the inside guys, and I get it. They need to play better, and they are getting paid a ton of money. And your responsibility is in line with your pay. That's just the reality of the NFL. Like, you build a roster built on the fact that your best players are going to either be rookies who you spend a high draft pick on, and eventually you're going to get paid, or guys that you're paying a lot of money. And for the Commanders right now, they're not getting that. But man, their edges are not doing anything either. And like, it's no pocket movement, or I should say, not enough pocket movement. They're not setting great edges in the run game necessarily. There's just a lot. Like, these gaps that dudes are running through are huge. And Jon Baptiste, I think, has got a little something to him in all those areas. He's had a little bit more pop. And it's like, look, if I'm going to get the same play from a vet and a young guy, I'd rather just play the young guy because the young guy is going to get better at a more rapid pace. So, especially considering this is a guy they drafted and they targeted, a guy that's got some pass rush juice. I mean, that move he hits on Mims is... And you can say, oh, well, Mims is a rookie. So is Jon Baptiste. One was a first rounder. One was a seventh rounder. And the seventh rounder hit a, like, Euro step, just sick pass rush move on Mims. And I don't know if that works on a veteran tackle. Probably doesn't. But he was playing a rookie, so we got a sack. And good job for him. So I think his size, his mobility, they're able to drop him out in coverage a little bit. And I think that versatility is something that they like, because what was kind of fun yesterday is, like, you see Jamin on the field a little bit dropping out into coverage, and it's like, oh, right, he can do that. He was a linebacker for a long time. It's not necessarily where I want him. You don't move him to defensive end so that you can play him at linebacker, but it gives you versatility where, like, then at times there was a play, I think, like, Jamin started as an edge, dropped out into coverage, and then on the next play, I think it was a third down, and they moved Luvu to edge, put Jamin at linebacker, and then blitz both of them. But Jamin was getting a blitz from, like, over center. And I think Javonte Jon Baptiste can do a lot of that stuff too, while being a more traditional defensive end body type. And so giving that versatility is something that maybe Joe Witt Jr. can use to unlock some pass rush, because Lord knows they need it, and they're just not getting it from anywhere else. So I think he's a really interesting player to watch his snap counts over the next couple of weeks, because I think they definitely could grow.
Yeah.
So let's keep that in mind.
Number four,
Quan Martin. I feel like Quan had a decent day yesterday. He continues to show up in terms of making some big hits. I don't know that he was kind of the safety that everyone's going to be wanting to talk about today. So we can, I mean, I'm pulling up his PFF grade real quick to see how he graded out. But, I mean, yeah, he second best player on the defense behind Bobby Wagner. Bobby grades out at a 71, Quan at a 67. But, like, what I will say about Quan real quick before I'm just going to audible and talk about Jeremy Chinn, because, well, that's the safety everyone's going to want to talk about. And, frankly, I want to talk about. If you are lucky enough as a running back to get unscathed into the Commander secondary, your luck ends with Quan Martin. And so, yes, there are too many times where Quan Martin is making first contact as a safety, 8, 9 yards, 11 yards down the field. That's not good. But he is delivering blows, and that is all he can do at that point. So I appreciate Quan's physicality. I still think that there's more to get from him in coverage in terms of potentially baiting lesser quarterbacks into some interceptions. Obviously, that's very hard to do against Joe Burrow. But I just think generally, like, Quan played a solid game. I don't really have a lot more to say about it. He didn't necessarily pop on the tape as much as Jeremy Chinn, who hopefully is done with everybody saying nonsense about him now. And I realize that might sound harsh, but I just, through two games, Chinn had missed a couple of tackles. Some of those weren't really his fault. He's being asked to fit gaps that are unreasonable because the defensive line and the linebackers in front of him aren't doing their jobs. So he's the one who gets caught in the picture, but it's not his fault he's being asked to do a task that's difficult. It's just hard. Anthony, talk for a second.
Not. It is a little difficult.
Say nice things about Jeremy Chin while I choke on my own spit.
Now, Jeremy definitely flashed yesterday. And I think the big thing for him coming into that game was him missing tackles. I think yesterday he was definitely a little bit more shorthanded when it came up to, you know, being the last line of defense. But also he showed up in the pass game as well. So I think Jeremy, I'm surprised, you know, his PFF grade is so low. But, I mean, if the defense gives up 33 points, I would imagine, like, everybody to not necessarily be so high.
Yeah, Chin grades out at a 58, which I don't know about that. The other thing I'll say about Kwan versus Chin, oh, my God. Apparently, I'm going to say nothing. Oh, my God. This is ridiculous. I should be fine forever.
Now you should be fine. I like what I seen out of Kwan yesterday. I think when it comes to Kwan, though, I do necessarily want him to
disguise coverage better. That's what
yes,
I was going to say.
Yes, because he was tipping, man. And Joe seen it every time.
Yeah, Burrow saw through it. Oh, my goodness. I almost just died. That's bad. That was really bad. But we know what? We're going to recover. We might take a break before the last folks in our pick six. That's why we typically split this in two, apparently. I don't know if I can handle a full pick six at once. Woo! The point is, Kwan tips coverage quite a bit. That led to some issues. Jeremy Chin, meanwhile, had that play on Mike Gesicki in the first half where he held his coverage shell in the box and then sprinted from inside the hashes to the sideline and laid Gesicki out. That is big-time safety play.
Yeah.
And so I think Chin showed up in the pass game, made plays behind the line of scrimmage, did well in the run game. Like, I thought Jeremy Chin was what Jeremy Chin was supposed to be yesterday. And the idea that after two games, people were giving up on him and asking for Derek Forrest, who is just, I hate this because I love Defoe as a dude, but like, I just think a lesser version of the same style of player was kind of ridiculous. And I think people are more familiar with Defoe, and Defoe's had some really good stretches. Defoe's a good football player, but like Jeremy Chin could be a really, really good football player. And you saw it yesterday. But yeah, Kwan, he's still getting used to playing safety and against, you know, better quarterbacks, the coverage stuff. You can't tip like that. Like either be where you, like tip coverage because you are where you're supposed to be, and that's less ground that you have to cover, or disguise it with more purpose and you'll be fine. And you can trick a quarterback and that's good. But all you wind up doing is tricking yourself when you do the stuff that Kwan did yesterday. But he'll learn. He's young. That's being a young football player. Okay, let's see if we can survive two more in a pick six.
Number five was my guy, Noah Brown. He only had, you know, three catches for 29 yards, but I think the best thing about him is how short-handed he is. The pass that Jaden had to him on third down, it was tight. It was low. He had to roll with it as well. And not a lot of people are making that catch. So I would just say, you know, his consistency and the fact that, you know, he gets open like when he necessarily needs to. So another good outing for him. But I think your guy, you know, popped a little bit more just because we hadn't heard his name a ton. So, but Noah had a good day still.
No, I think Noah was solid. I think that, you know, there's going to be games where he potentially has more, but the fact that he has Jaden Daniels' trust is a big, big deal. And, you know, he is going to continue to be relied upon in big spots because he is their primary other outside guy. And so with that comes the responsibility of winning one-on-one. And so if they put Terry in those stacks, put Terry in those bunches, put Terry to the three receiver side, then Noah's going to be one-on-one. And there's certain routes where that's going to be the primary read. So he's going to get his looks. He's going to get his opportunities. And I think some of them will be more vertically down the field. But yesterday, you know, another one of these in-breaking routes where he's got to make a play in a key spot. And kudos, he consistently does it. I think Joe Buck had the line on the broadcast. Like, he's just been an unheralded, you know, kind of underappreciated pro receiver for a long time in this league. And you know, he's not some superstar in the waiting, but he's a damn good NFL receiver, and you'd take some of those on your football team any day.
Number six.
Looks like Luke McCaffrey might turn into a damn good NFL receiver. This was a heck of a call by your boy as we wrapped up yesterday. It just came from film study. And it really just came from realizing that Luke McCaffrey's been open this season, and Jaden hasn't hit him. And Jaden and Luke like have too good of a rapport and a relationship. And this coaching staff is too good for that to continue to happen and Jaden not to get Luke the football. Like, Luke didn't play significantly better last night necessarily than he did in other points this season. He just got more opportunities and he took advantage of them. But one that I'll highlight, the intelligence of Luke McCaffrey on that fourth down to realize I'm not open in this window. Because, right, zone you sit, man you keep moving. And it's zone coverage, but he realizes this is not the place for me to sit. So he sits for a second, realizes there's no window here. Me just sitting here, I'm just dead. And I have the ability on this route to get into this second window. Jaden buys a little bit of time. He gets into the second window behind the linebacker and then damn near scores the thing. Like, that's big time football. Obviously, you see his rookiness later. He needs to get past the sticks on that little rub route on the side. I think it was a 3rd and 3, led to a 4th and 1, or 4th and inches that they convert because they converted all their 4th downs. But like, in that situation, you have to know where the sticks are. You have to run your route to the sticks. And he didn't push far enough to get up. And Jaden kind of yelled at him a little bit afterwards because he's like, dude, like, I'm trusting you here. You gotta make sure the play is right. But all in all, like, excellent job by Luke. He's super tough. He's only going to get better. He's really good on these horizontal routes of finding the space. There's a couple other shots that he potentially, you know, a couple other times that he wins. He's not the primary read. Like, again, I don't think Jaden made that many bad decisions in the game. So it's not like he missed them. But like, he wins with a good enough level and with good enough consistency that in a moment where Jaden needs to rely on him, I think he's reliable. And 3 games into your NFL career, that's not a bad thing that can be said about you as a receiver, especially when you were playing quarterback at Nebraska 2 or 3 years ago. So that's nice.
Yeah. I still can't believe it, Craig.
Won, Anthony.
We did win. The manner in which we won, the offense, the number of players. It wasn't like, you know, it was just one guy that went off. Like, I think Jaden did a good job of just spreading around. Terry had 4 catches. Noah had 3.
Luke, and it feels like so many guys had big catches, right?
Exactly.
Like, Terry, obviously. Noah, the big catch you talked about. Luke, the big catch I just talked about on 4th down.
Zach Ertz
had, like, basically a drive or a half a drive to himself. Unfortunately, the first half was bad. He jumped off sides, then fumbled it, but luckily they recovered it. But he came back and made, like, 2 catches in the next 5 plays.
Yep.
They get stuck in 2nd and 20 in that final drive. They go back-to-back screens to De'Ami Brown, who gets 13 yards back in 2 plays.
Yep.
Like, that's efficient offense. So, just everybody, I mean, OZ recovers the onside kick. Like, it was a good night for the receiver room in a bunch of different ways. Terry has the monster night, but, like, I think all in all, like, they've got guys who can get the job done. I do think that if all of a sudden they can beat Arizona and we're getting towards the trade deadline and they want to add a little firepower and Davante Adams or whoever else is available, like, do you at least make the call? Yeah, of course. Can you upgrade that room? And do they need to upgrade that room in the long term? Yeah, of course. But they got some dudes in there, and dudes that'll play hard and dudes that Jaden trusts. And you can have your quarterback elevate that kind of player, even when he's a rookie, especially when this rookie's playing like this.
Yeah.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. When we get back, we wrap up the show. A couple of final thoughts and real things real people said into real microphones.